continued to develop this sermonette, I thought, well, I had chosen the subject maybe rather poorly, because it probably is the subject at least of a sermon, not of a sermonette. So it's a lot of material to be covered in a short period of time. And nevertheless, we're going to give it what we can. Revelation chapter 4. And by the way, last week I was evaluated for being too soft when I was speaking. And that's the first time I ever remember that. But I feel like I have a lot better acoustics here right now. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 7. We read about, and we have been focusing at kind of a central verse of Scripture for some time off and on the four, it calls them beasts around the throne, and at least that's the King James translation, these four beasts around which surround the throne of God and give glory and honor to God on a regular basis. Here's what the Scripture itself says. The first beast was like a lion. The second beast like a calf. Third beast had the face as a man. That's the one we'll be focusing on in this sermonette. The third beast, the face of the man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And we've talked about three of these now. And before too much longer, we'll be doing the face of the eagle. This book, this sermonette reflects the book of Luke, as the book of Luke is picturing the face of the man. I would like to look at one account from that book as it reflects, as that one account reflects the face of the man. So that's the SPS that we'll look at in this sermonette. We want to consider how the faith of the thankful leper made him whole. That's the statement that Christ makes at the end of this account. It's like a 6 or 7 verse account. And Christ says, your faith has made you whole. So let's start by saying this particular account, which is found in Luke 17, and it goes from verse 11 to verse 14, is unique. What do I mean unique? Well, the other gospel writers, Matthew doesn't have the account in his gospel. Mark doesn't have the account in his gospel. In many things, there are, you know, repetition from one gospel to the next gospel, and the same subject matter is covered in all of those gospels. This one account is only covered in the book of Luke. So if we look at Luke as picturing the face of the man, and this one verse, this one account of 4 or 5 verses is included in there, it must, generally speaking, be painting for us a picture that we won't find in the other Gospels. It's unique. The other three writers apparently were there. Was Matthew there? We would think he was there when this occurred. Book of Mark, we think, was written jointly by Mark and Peter. Probably Peter would have been there for sure. And John, who wrote the Gospel of John, also would have been there. And yet, those three writers did not include what happened in this event. Why? We would have a suspicion, maybe, why they didn't. Because this account contributes to what Luke is doing by painting Christ's ministry as being the face of the man. The other three do not include it, and they specifically omit it because for them to include it might have detracted from Luke's account. We see it's unique in the book of Luke. Luke is painting something they aren't painting. They're painting something entirely different. They're putting an entirely different face on the things. But here's Luke including it. And possibly it's an important element in the painting the face of the man. Here's the account. Let's read it. I've broken it down into different points, but here let's start in verse 11 of Luke 17. It came to pass, now it just begins to explain this without necessarily having to have a context, because he had just finished with a previous context, and then the book of Luke breaks out here. It came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Kind of an interesting thing if you trace out that route, and I didn't do that for this sermonette, but Christ might have taken a different route than he normally would have taken in coming here to Jerusalem. And we'll see that he did that in the book of John as we get into John chapter 4, the account with the woman at the well. He didn't take the normal route, and he met this woman at the well. Now, we wonder here if he took, a different route, and I don't know, but I just have a suspicion maybe he did. Took a different route than would have been the easiest route here to get to Jerusalem, because maybe he had this meeting set up with 10 lepers. He knew they would be there and was approaching it from that point of view. He passed through the midst of Samaria. That was a Gentile area, right? Had been populated by the people from one of the nations there, and Babylon. I think the Babylonians had brought in the Samaritans and populated the area. Came to pass as he went through Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, it doesn't tell us what village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Well, we're kind of in somewhat of that situation now, aren't we? We're having to distance ourselves for quarantine purposes. Supposedly, we're keeping a certain distance between ourselves. I was sitting over here on that bench, and so I was keeping six-foot distance from anybody. There met him 10 men that were lepers, and they stood afar off. And these lepers might have had to stand there and yell, "Unclean, unclean." So if people would know to stay back from them, not to get close to them. They lifted up their voices. I don't know, it almost sounds like unison, but again, I doubt if it was. It was probably individually they were saying these things. And they said, "Jesus, Master," so they're giving the recognition to Christ, because they already seem to understand something about Christ that maybe the rest of the population or most of the rest of the population didn't realize. They said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They all have the same affliction. I think it would have been kind of unusual to have 10 people with the same affliction in one place at one time. Something just to notice there. Was this an orchestrated event that Christ knew he was going to meet these people? Just a question. I don't have the answer, but it looks like we might see that occurring here. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, why would they go and show themselves to the priest? Why did Christ specifically tell them to go and show themselves to the priest? Because the way in which you had to become no longer unclean, cleansed from the affliction that you had, was to go show yourself to the priest, and the priest would pronounce a judgment that you were able to be back in society, like you had recovered from coronavirus and now you could go back into the population as a whole. Well, that was kind of what he's saying. Go show yourself to the priest. The priest was the one who was designated for that purpose. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So it was kind of a certain amount of faith being here exhibited. Maybe not all that much, since it didn't require such a great big amount of effort on their parts, but it's something interesting to note, especially as we get into a little bit further into the story. There were here in this group of 10. It tells us later on, describes for us later on, that one was a Gentile. What about the other 9? It doesn't specifically say, but since it calls out one as a Gentile, we would conclude that the other 9 were Israelites. And as they went, all 10 of them were cleansed. Verse 16. I guess I dropped verse 15. But the one came back. And verse 16, fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan is a Gentile from the area of Samaria, which had been the home of the nation of Israel, kingdom of Israel, before they were destroyed by the Ninevites. Fell down on his feet and did. This is really remarkable when you think about it. It's a different culture. It's a different time. The customs were somewhat different. But even considering that, this is a remarkable account. Fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And he did so. I'm sorry, I don't have verse 15 here. But verse 15, he did it in a very loud and easily seen and distinguished way, giving Christ thanks and falling at his feet for the fact that he was healed, but he was the only one who did that. The nine Israelites, they were just happy to be made well, and they went their way. Christ said to this Gentile, this Samaritan, and as far as the Jews were concerned, or the Israelites at that time were concerned, Samaritans were the worst of the Gentiles because they counterfeited the religion of God. They had built their own temple. They had done all kinds of things that the Israelites regarded as being particularly deceptive. So they were considered by that society around them as the worst of the worst. And Christ said, I thought there were 10. Now, I don't know if he stood there counting and counted them all, or if he kind of knew who was coming to the party in the first place and met them there because he came on a particular route to be there. And Christ said, I thought there were 10. Were there not, at least this is the King James account translation, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? It's kind of interesting, isn't it? That all 10 of them were cleansed. One of them was a Gentile. The other 9 appear to have been Israelites. And they were all healed. And this one Gentile fell on his feet in a very loud voice, gave thanks to Christ and to God for his healing. Very recognizable display that could be seen by everybody around. The others were healed just the same as the one Gentile. But you notice here Christ says something to this one Gentile. He doesn't say to the 9 Israelites, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God except this worst of the worst Gentile, this stranger. He did. Now, what about the face of the man? Well, the face of the man, the theme of the book of Luke is salvation. One of the main themes is salvation is not just for the Israelites. It's for the face of mankind, face of the man, all of mankind. But he's the only one that comes back to give thanks. And because he's the only one that comes back to give thanks, he's the only one that to whom Christ makes what the statement that comes next. It seems that here in this theme of the face of the man, the book of Luke, here it's being demonstrated that not just physical healing, but spiritual healing is also for the Gentiles. All of mankind. The face of the man. Christ had a particular thing to say to this Gentile. As he's laying on the ground, and apparently you would think still giving thanks to God, maybe in an audible voice, that could be heard by everybody. He let everybody know it. It was a loud voice. And Christ said to him, get up, go your way. And here's what he said. Then it's the concluding part of that verse. Your faith has made you well. That's kind of an interesting line, isn't it? We think that maybe faith isn't what makes us well, because he said this to that Gentile. But what about the other nine? They were made well too, but he didn't say this to them. Specifically said it to the Gentile. And how many people do you see that he healed in the Bible, in the Word of God, in the Gospels? How many people do you see that he healed who did not demonstrate or exhibit any faith? These guys, these other nine went their way. They were happy that they didn't have the problem anymore. But here's one of the things that's being expressed by faith, which says your faith has made you well, was an attitude of thankfulness. And we might think that an attitude of thankfulness, if we analyze it in that way, is an important part of the faith that made this man well. And when you are anointed and you give thanks to God in the same way, maybe that's an important part of your healing. And maybe you don't have to have faith to be healed, because many, many people were healed without showing any faith at all. Yet, there are other things that we could say about faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. We want to endeavor to have the same faith as this Samaritan, whether or not we are a descendant of Abraham through Isaac. Without faith, it says, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it is impossible to please God. For those that come to God, here's the definition of faith that's being described here. Number one point of faith, you must believe that God exists. Is that enough? You read in the book of James, we'll see that Satan and the demons believe that God exists and they tremble. That doesn't establish the kind of faith that's being described here. Just knowing that God exists, or giving understanding and a place in your mind for the existence of God, is not enough to set you apart, to sanctify you, because even Satan and the demons do that. And must believe that he is. Many people do that. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And this giving thanks on the part of this one Samaritan sets himself apart in a way that when we give thanks, we should as well set ourselves apart, if we can have that same attitude of faith. Must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So let's us, brethren, please God by our faith. And recognize that from the face of the man, salvation is for all of mankind, including the Gentiles.